simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. Taoism is the art of being in the world, for it deals with the present, ourselves. It is in us that God meets with nature, and yesterday parts from tomorrow. The present is the moving infinity, the legitimate sphere of the relative. Relativity seeks adjustment. Adjustment is art. The art of life lies in a constant readjustment to our surroundings. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. Let your eyes see what they see, not what others want you to see. Let your ears hear what they naturally hear, not what others want you to hear. Let your mouth speak your mind freely, and not be constrained by other people's approval or disapproval. Let your mind think what it wants to think, and not let other people's demands dictate your thoughts. If your senses and your mind are not allowed to do what they want to do naturally, you are denying them their rights. When you cannot think, sense, feel, or act freely, then your body and mind are injured. Break these oppressions, and you will cultivate life. Be careful what you water your dreams with. Water them with worry and fear, and you will produce weeds that choke the life from your dreams. Water them with optimism and solutions, and you will cultivate success. Always be on the lookout for ways to turn a problem into an opportunity for success. Always be on the lookout for ways to nurture your dream. Strength should always be complemented by softness. If you resist too much, you will break. Thus, the strong person knows when to use strength and when to yield. And good fortune and disaster depend on whether you know how and when to yield. Those who do not know how to suffer are the worst off. There are times when the only thing we can do is to bear our troubles until a better day. To solve a problem, you need to remove the cause, not the symptom. To know and to think we know not is the crown. To not know and to think we know is the affliction. Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. If a branch is too rigid, it will break. Resist and you will perish. Know how to yield and you will survive. Only he who has no use for the empire is fit to be entrusted with it. At the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are, and you know what you want. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward into whatever way they like. Kindness in words creates confidence. Kindness in thinking creates profoundness. Kindness in giving creates love. A person with a mind is bound to be filled with conceptions. These conceptions prevent him from knowing things directly. So a person with a mind shall never really know. Trying to explain Zen is like trying to catch wind in a box. The moment you close the lid, it ceases to be wind, and in time becomes stagnant air. A good traveler has no fixed plans and is not intent on arriving. When you are content to simply be yourself and don't compare or compete, everyone will respect you. The fact is that those who do not see themselves but who see others, who fail to get a grasp of themselves but who grasp others, take possessions of what others have but fail to possess themselves. They are attracted to what others enjoy but fail to find enjoyment in themselves. If you play a game where scrap pieces of glass are at stake, you will play skillfully. If your expensive belt buckle is at stake, you'll start to get clumsy. If it's your money that's at stake, you'll fumble. It's not that you've lost your skill. It's because you're so flustered by things happening outside that you've lost your calmness inside. Lose your stillness, and you will fail in everything you do. A man with outward courage dares to die. A man with inner courage dares to live. A man like this will not go where he has no will to go, will not do what he has no mind to do. Though the world might praise him and say he had really found something, he would look unconcerned and never turn his head. Though the world might condemn him and say he has lost something, he would look serene and pay no heed. The praise and blame of the world are no loss or gain to him. Things joined by profit when pressed by misfortune and danger will cast each other aside. Let your mind wander in simplicity. Blend your spirit with the vastness. Follow along with things the way they are, and make no room for personal views. Then the world will be governed. A beam or pillar can be used to batter down a city wall, but it is no good for stopping up a little hole. This refers to a difference in function. Thoroughbreds like Qi Ji or Hua Li could gallop 1,000 li in one day, but when it came to catching rats, they were no match for the wildcat or the weasel. This refers to a difference in skill. The horned owl catches fleas at night and can spot the tip of a hair, but when daylight comes, no matter how wide it opens its eyes, it cannot see a mound or a hill. This refers to a difference in nature. Now do you say that you are going to make right your master and do away with wrong, or make order your master and do away with disorder? If you do, then you have not understood the principle of heaven and earth, or the nature of the 10,000 things. This is like saying that you're going to make heaven your master and do away with earth, or make yin your master and do away with yang. Obviously, it is impossible. We may be floating on Tao, But there is nothing wrong with steering. If Tao is like a river, it is certainly good to know where the rocks are. Great power is worry, and total power is boredom, such that even God renounces it and pretends instead that he is people and fish and insects and plants. The myth of the king who goes wandering among his subjects in disguise. Travel is such a wonderful experience, especially when you forget you are traveling. Then you will enjoy whatever you see and do. Those who look into themselves when they travel will not think about what they see. In fact, there is no distinction between the viewer and the scene. You experience everything with the totality of yourself, so that every blade of grass, every mountain, every lake is alive and is a part of you. When there is no division between you and what is other, this is the ultimate experience of traveling. To attain knowledge, add things every day. To attain wisdom, remove things every day. Those who know don't talk. Those who talk don't know. Close your mouth, block off your senses, blunt your sharpness, untie your knots, soften your glare, settle your dust. This is the primal identity. Be like the Tao. It can't be approached or withdrawn from, benefited or harmed, honored or brought into disgrace. It gives itself up continually. That is why it endures. You have only to rest in inaction, and things will transform themselves. Smash your form and body. Spit out your hearing and eyesight. Forget you are a thing among other things, and you might join in great unity with the deep and boundless. The Tao is clear, yet this clarity requires you to sweep away all your clutter. At all times, watch out for your own stupidity. Be careful of how your mind jumps around. When nothing occurs to involve your mind, you return to true awareness. When unified mindfulness is purely real, you comprehend the great restoration. The ridiculous ones are those who try to cultivate quietude. As long as body and mind are unstable, it is madness to go into the mountains. When two things occur successively, we call them cause and effect if we believe one event made the other one happen. If we think one event is the response to the other, we call it a reaction. If we feel that the two incidents are not related, we call it a mere coincidence. If we think someone deserved what happened, we call it a retribution or reward depending on whether the event was negative or positive for the recipient. If we cannot find a reason for the two events occurring simultaneously or in close proximity, we call it an accident. Therefore, how we explain coincidences depends on how we see the world. Is everything connected so that events create resonances like ripples across a net? Or do things merely co-occur and we give meaning to these co-occurrences based on our belief system? Lao Tzu's answer, it's all in how you think. When meditation is mastered, the mind is unwavering like the flame of a lamp in a windless place. In the still mind, in the depths of meditation, the self reveals itself. Beholding the self by means of the self, an aspirant knows the joy and peace of complete fulfillment. Having attained that abiding joy beyond the senses, revealed in the stilled mind, he never swerves from the eternal truth. You have the right to work, but for the work's sake only. You have no rights to the fruits of work. Desire for the fruits of work must never be your motive in working. Never give way to laziness either. Perform every action with your heart fixed on the Supreme Lord. Renounce attachment to the fruits. Be even-tempered in success and failure, for it is this evenness of temper which is meant by yoga. Work done with anxiety about results is far inferior to the work done without such anxiety, in the calm of self-surrender. Seek refuge in the knowledge of Brahma. They who work selfishly for results are miserable. In this world, three gates lead to hell. The gates of passion, anger, and greed. Released from these three qualities, one can succeed in attaining salvation and reaching the highest goal. You are what you believe in. You become that which you believe you can become. Man is made by his belief. As he believes, so he is. Seek refuge in the attitude of detachment, and you will amass the wealth of spiritual awareness. The one who is motivated only by desire for the fruits of their action, and anxious about the results, is miserable indeed. When a man dwells on the pleasure of sense, attraction for them arises in him. From attraction arises desire, the lust of possession, and this leads to passion, to anger. From passion comes confusion of the mind, then loss of remembrance, the forgetting of duty. From this loss comes the ruin of reason, and the ruin of reason leads man to destruction. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the truths and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, and the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salvation of the dawn. The soul who meditates on the self is content to serve the self and rest satisfied within the self. There remains nothing more for him to accomplish. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus is untouched by water. One who has control over the mind is tranquil in heat and cold, in pain and pleasure, and in honor and dishonor, and is ever steadfast with the Supreme Self. One should strive to employ oneself to uplift oneself. One should never dishonor oneself. The self is one's friend as well as one's enemy. It is both near and far, both within and without every creature. It moves and is unmoving. In its subtlety, it is beyond comprehension. It is invisible, yet appears divided in separate creatures. Know it to be the creator, the preserver, and the destroyer. Dwelling in every heart, it is beyond darkness. It is called the light of the lights, the object and goal of knowledge, and knowledge itself. It is better to strive in one's own Dharma than to succeed in the Dharma of another. Nothing is ever lost in following one's own Dharma, but competition in another's Dharma breeds fear and insecurity. For him who has no concentration, there is no tranquility. Death is as sure for that which is born, as birth is for that which is dead. Therefore grieve not for what is inevitable. Delusion arises from anger. The mind is bewildered by delusion. Reasoning is destroyed when the mind is bewildered. One falls down when reasoning is destroyed. Endurance is one of the most difficult disciplines, but it is to the one who endures that the final victory comes. Let us rise up and be thankful, for if we didn't learn a lot, at least we learnt a little, and if we didn't learn a little, at least we didn't get sick, and if we got sick, at least we didn't die. So let us be thankful. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts and made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, suffering follows him, as the wheel follows the hoof of the beast that draws the wagon. If a man speaks or acts with a good thought, happiness follows him like a shadow that never leaves. Holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned. One moment can change a day, one day can change a life, and one life can change the world. Be where you are, otherwise you will miss your life. Kindness should be the natural way of life, not the exception. It is better to travel well than to arrive. To live a pure, unselfish life, one must count nothing as one's own in the midst of abundance. Whatever a monk keeps pursuing with his thinking and pondering, that becomes the inclination of his awareness. A man is not called wise because he talks and talks again, But if he is peaceful, loving, and fearless, then he is in truth called wise. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. Just as the great ocean has one taste, the taste of salt, so also this teaching and discipline has one taste, the taste of liberation. The root of suffering is attachment. Your work is to discover your world, and then, with all your heart, give yourself to it. There is no fire like passion. There is no shark like hatred. There is no snare like folly. There is no torrent like greed. Do not dwell in the past, do not dream of the future. Concentrate the mind on the present moment. Happiness will never come to those who fail to appreciate what they already have. What you are basically deep, deep down, far, far in, is simply the fabric and structure of existence itself. I have realized that the past and the future are real illusions, that they exist in the present, which is what there is, and all there is. You are a function of what the whole universe is doing, in the same way that a wave is a function of what the whole ocean is doing. Tomorrow and plans for tomorrow can have no significance at all unless you are in full contact with the reality of the present, since it is in the present and only in the present that you live. There is no other reality than present reality, so that even if one were to live for endless ages, to live for the future would be to miss the point everlastingly. The meaning of life is just to be alive. It is so plain and so obvious and so simple, and yet everybody rushes around in a great panic, as if it were necessary to achieve something beyond themselves. When you get free from certain fixed conceptions of the way the world is, you find it is far more subtle and far more miraculous than you thought it was. You are an aperture through which the universe is looking at and exploring itself. The only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. A scholar tries to learn something every day. A student of Buddhism tries to unlearn something every day. I'll tell you what the hermits realize. If you go off into a far, far forest and get very quiet, you'll come to understand that you're connected with everything. If then my awareness of the past and future makes me less aware of the present, I must begin to wonder whether I am actually living in the real world. Meditation is the discovery that the point of life is always arrived at in the immediate moment. The only Zen you will find on the mountaintop is the Zen you bring up there with you. Muddy water is best cleared by leaving it alone. Every intelligent individual wants to know what makes him tick, and yet is at once fascinated and frustrated by the fact that oneself is the most difficult of all things to know. Problems that remain persistently insoluble should always be suspected as questions asked in the wrong way. One is a great deal less anxious if one feels perfectly free to be anxious, and the same may be said of guilt. If you say that getting the money is the most important thing, you'll spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living. That is to go on doing things you don't like doing, which is stupid. When we attempt to exercise power or control over someone else, we cannot avoid giving that person the very same power or control over us. Things are as they are. Looking out into the universe at night, we make no comparisons between right and wrong stars, nor between well and badly arranged constellations. Philosophy is a man's expression of curiosity about everything, and his attempt to make sense of the world, primarily through his intellect. Zen does not confuse spirituality while thinking about God while one is peeling potatoes. Zen spirituality is just to peel the potatoes. If we cling to belief in God, we cannot likewise have faith, since faith is not clinging, but letting go. What we have forgotten is that thoughts and words are conventions, and that it is fatal to take conventions too seriously. A convention is a social convenience, as for example money, but it is absurd to take money too seriously, to confuse it with real wealth. In somewhat the same way, thoughts, ideas, and words are coins for real things. Other people teach us who we are. Their attitudes to us are the mirror in which we learn to see ourselves, but the mirror is distorted. We are perhaps rather dimly aware of the immense power of our social environment. It's like you took a bottle of ink and threw it at the wall. Smash! And all that ink spread. And in the middle it is dense, isn't it? And as it gets out to the edge, the little droplets get finer and finer and make more complicated patterns, see? So in the same way, there was a big bang at the beginning of things, and it spread. And you and I, sitting here in this room as complicated human beings, are way, way out on the fringe of that bang. We are the complicated little patterns at the end of it. Very interesting. But so we define ourselves as being only that. If you think that you are only inside your skin, you define yourself as one very complicated little curlicue, way out on the edge of that explosion, way out in space, and way out in time. Billions of years ago, you were a Big Bang, but now you're a complicated human being. And then we cut ourselves off, and don't feel that we're still the Big Bang, but you are. Depending on how you define yourself, you actually are. If this is the way things started, if there was a Big Bang in the beginning, you're not something that's a result of the Big Bang. You're not something that is a sort of puppet on the end of the process. You are still the process. You are the Big Bang. The original force of the universe coming on as whoever you are. When I meet you, I see not just what you define yourself as. Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. I see every one of you as the primordial energy of the universe, coming on at me in this particular way. I know I am that too, but we've learned to define ourselves as separate from it. Just as a snake sheds its skin, we must shed our past over and over again. What you are is what you have been. What you will be is what you do now. Even as a solid rock is unshaken by the wind, so were the wise unshaken by praise or blame. Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. Every morning we are born again. What we do today is what matters most. Do not look for sanctuary in anyone except yourself. If you propose to speak, always ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? No one saves us but ourselves. No one can and no one may. We ourselves must walk the path. The secret of health, for both mind and body, is not to mourn for the past, nor worry about the future, but to live the present moment wisely and earnestly. Drop by drop is the water pot filled. Likewise, the wise man, gathering it little by little, fills himself with good. There is nothing so disobedient as an undisciplined mind, and there is nothing so obedient as a disciplined mind. If you find no one to support you on your spiritual path, walk alone. Peace comes from within. Do not seek it without. Have compassion for all beings, rich and poor alike. Each has their suffering. Some suffer too much, others too little. If your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. Hatred does not cease by hatred, but only by love. This is the eternal rule. Nothing can harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. In the sky, there is no distinction of east and west. People create distinctions out of their own minds, and then believe them to be true. If we fail to look after others when they need help, who will look after us? A generous heart, kind speech, and a life of service and compassion are the things which renew humanity. An idea that is developed and put into action is more important than an idea that exists only as an idea.